Let's do it.
Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. 65 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man Marvin Roan and a crew coming to you live. Good to be it is. It's good to be alive, but we got Sister Krista on deck, on board, Brother George, Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa, you, me, and so much more. Join us. It's family time. Oh, yeah. And for 7 brothers and sisters, no greater love, no better love than Empowerment Saturday. Welcome, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers of all African descent, right? Even in diaspora, wherever you are, it's our time. It's family time. Well, we show up for ourselves, and we have to do the work of working on ourselves. Again, it's the message to the black woman, part two. We got to make sure that we got the sisters in the house and on deck on this one, right? Sister Krista is back for education, motivation, and empowerment. You don't do nothing else. Share this show with your lady friends, right? Brothers and sisters of all kinds, we need to be able to educate ourselves and be really smart about what it is that we're doing, right? Education is important, right? But again, it's education for edification. And so the more that we can do the work of working on ourselves, the better off we'll all be in the long run. There's some pillars that we need to talk about, right, of the African-American empowerment system. Right. One is politics. We need a political agenda right where you are. Right. Politics, focusing on politics. Right. How to make things better where we are from a political standpoint. Two, economics. We need an economic platform and an economic agenda that really looks at how we're going to look at money in America or wherever we are in the world. Three is culture. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. It's the A. I'm off. It's the A. Athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, mental health, physical health, emotional health, and wellness. We have to take care of our bodies. We have to take care of our minds. And we have to do that job of doing the work ourselves to make sure that we're maintaining our health. Our health is our wealth. Then there's C, relevant cultural programs that really look at educating ourselves, right? Really doing the work of educating ourselves to make sure that we're teaching, training, and developing our young people, right? To educate them on culture and what, how, and why culture is important. And we're going to have to do that. And lastly, it's a comprehensive education that really looks at how we're going to do the work of managing ourselves in this culture and in this climate, how we're going to educate ourselves, right, to make sure that we're in the best place that we can be, right, each day and every day, just one day at a time. And the work has to be done by us and us alone. Who else is going to do it? Right. That means that we're going to have to do it, and we're going to have to do that work today. It starts today. It starts right now with you. So, again, welcome to African-American Empowerment, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. This is Stan Mack in a moment. Be right back. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brother Stan is so right. We need those institutions that define our own reality. We have to think about those things that's going to help us help ourselves. It is schools, it is institutions, solid institutions that really help our people to develop themselves mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and culturally. That is where the work needs to be done. And we're going to have to do that work. It's a great work, but collectively, working together, no matter what your religious affiliation is or whether you're in a group or organization, it does not matter. What matters is we have to enrich ourselves by doing the work of working on ourselves. And now it's time for the favorite of mine, Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa with Brother George. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, mom. Hey, wife. All right.
Bring it. What?
Bring it, Brother George. We ain't going nowhere. Brother George, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother. As always, thank you for the invitation and, you know, allowing me to share this information with our people. Today's
sir, you know, that's very important.
Yes, sir. To the utmost. Today's Kwanzaa principle is Ujima, collective work and responsibility to build and keep our community together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems, and to solve them together. Ujima, shaped to represent an enclosed and secured compound house. This is a symbol of safety and security, brotherhood and solidarity. It reminds us of the inner sense of security that comes from being a valued and respected part of our communities. Now today, I'm going to go through this, you know, one commandment at a time. But once again, I'm reading from The Ten Commandments of Black Economic Power by Dr. Boyce Watkins. And this is commandment number 5. Invest in healthy relationships and maintain them. If some of these I've repeated over, then so be it, because this is a great one that I think that we need to really focus in on. A few years ago, I threw my audience for a loop. Even though I continue to speak on black wealth principles and economics every single day, I added a special tool to my arsenal, relationship. One of the first recollections I have of understanding the importance of healthy relationships in the wealth building process came from speaking with Dr. George C. Frazier. Dr. Frazier is the author of a book, Success Runs in Our Race, and is one of the most respected networking experts on the planet. His book is required reading at several institutions, and he has an amazing ability to maintain strong relationships with hundreds, even thousands of people. And I'm going to restate the name of his book, Success Runs in Our Race, by Dr. George C. Frazier. I am honored that Dr. Frazier considers me to be a friend. And I learn from him every time, we speak. The gift that Dr. Frazier offers to black people is that he understands the secret sauce required to do business with others and build in a way that is mutually beneficial to everyone. The rule is simple. Be nice to each other. Let me explain further. One important rule that Dr. Frazier explains when discussing the power of networking in the rule of reciprocity, what goes around comes around. When most people try to form a relationship with a person who can help them make money, they start the discussion off in the wrong way. They are asking for something. This can be draining for famous people because there is usually someone asking for something every single day of the week. In nearly every conversation in every city all around the world, even in my own personal life, I find myself feeling a bit when I know that someone is about to ask me for something and I can't give, that I can't give. Dr. Frazier explains that the best way to build trust with others isn't to start off the discussion by asking for something. Instead, you start off by offering, in cap all caps, by offering something. This allows the person to see you as an asset to their life rather than a liability, making them more open to reciprocating in the event that you need something from them. This is just one example of what it means to build healthy relationships. And I think that that's very significant because many of us are trying to figure out ways to build wealth for our family, for our organizations, what have you. But I really think that that he hit the nail on the head with, you have to come to the table with something, even if it's a very good plan, you know, because people that have money, it's people asking them for that money every single day, just like you said. So they're not going to just be giving their money away to just any and everybody. But sometimes when people are touched by what it is that you're doing, then they're more willing to voluntarily, like, I like the support that you're doing. So I thought that was an interesting chapter in the commandments, you know, the fifth. And if you don't have any questions, Brother Marvin, back to you.
Thank you, Brother George. Thank you. As always, here's the question of the week, right? With that being stated, right, what is the one thing you know that all of us can give without asking for anything?
Well, the thing that you all could give is your time. You know, like when you give your time and your energy to something, then you might not necessarily have money in the beginning, but if you put the time and the energy, it's ultimately going to produce some money, and you can grow with that. So that's my response.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. You are exactly right. We got to offer something to this world. Each of you were born with a purpose. You came here for a specific purpose and a specific task. With all the capabilities and skills that you need to perform it to perfection in a most excellent way, what it is that your assignment is, what you have is an asset. That asset is you. You are the gift, brothers and sisters. You are the dream. You are the source. You are the power. You are the life. You are what the whole world is following, and you can't even see yourself. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Open your mind to change, right? Begin to grow yourself and know that you have something. You got something to give. You have something to offer, but you got to look down inside to see it. It won't always be what you see in the mirror. It's your ideas. It's your creativity. It's your gifts, talents, and abilities. And that alone is what you have to offer. All you have to do is decide now. Make a choice. Make a decision for change in our community, within yourself first, and then your family, and then community. But the work belongs to you. It belongs to me. Every day of our lives, from the time that you wake up to the time that you go to sleep and then back up again, every day you have to identify and define and refine your purpose, and then make your purpose your practice, and make training your mind and your body your mission so that you can be successful at the work that you came to this earth to do. God gave you the ability. And at the end of your life, when you take your last breath, I hope that you are able to say proudly, I did everything that I could with the gifts and talents and abilities that you gave me. And that's all that you can do. Do the work. Working on yourself, and everything else will work out. Sister Krista today, as we get a message to the Black Woman Part 2, Slido was in effect today, 333-4123, the number Slido.com. Y'all come on and talk to me while she's giving a lecture. 333-4123. And the call in line, 845-277-9250. Once again, Slido. Slido.com, Slido.com. We're communicating, right? Effortlessly. 333. That's three threes. 4123 is Slido. All right. Got that out the way. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for Sister Kristen?
I am.
She's coming down the hall now. All right, let's bring her in the right way. Sister Krista, doing it as only we could do it. Oh, yeah. There it is. Come on. Great message there, y'all. Right here, Krista. Right
hey.
Right here. Krista, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, good. How are you all?
Doing great, sister.
Doing well. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
You got a message to the black woman. This is part two in the series. And I just want to start out by saying I got so many texts, phone calls, and emails on both sides. You stirred the sisters up. Someone was like, you right. She's right. Someone was like, I don't know what she talking about, and we need to have a discussion with her because she don't know what she talking about. But guess what? Sister Krista is back again, ladies and gentlemen, and she's going to deliver another message, whether you like it or not. I'm turning it over to you, Sister Krista. But before we do that, again, Slido, 333-4123-845-277-9250 if you want to get in on the discussion. We're going to be talking about the things that black women need to do in 2023 to make the black family work again and much, much more. Call and tell a friend. We're live. It's Empowerment 365 Days with Sister Krista. Sister Krista, what we need to do? What the black women need to do?
Well, let me start by saying, you know, the UDAMA message that Brother George gave about just being brothers to your brother and a sister to your sister and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we do need one another, and we most definitely are at a critical point where things are getting given to us and things are in our path where we can at our grasp right now, where we have room to grow, we have room for to improve, we have access to a lot more than what we used to have access to. And like you said, we have access to one another. So I think replacing those chains with another brother or sister, link arms with one another. And I don't ever want to come off as I'm always right or I know everything. This is an eye-opening couple of years for me, you know. So I'm newly woke, and I'm still learning a lot. And God has blessed me, you know, allowed me to be put in the path of, you know, elders, those that are older than me, that are wiser than me, that I've been able to link up with and been learning a lot lately from the people around me and the people that's in my circle. So when I say making families whole again and reversing the curse and linking up with one another, it's just about being accountable, holding ourselves accountable as women, because I'm not a man. I can't speak for a man. And I try to stay in my lane, you know, when it comes to that. I see what goes on around me and, you know, what I'm a victim of, and that's the only aspect that I speak from. So for me, making families whole again, you know, I say as women, we should keep our, you know, hold ourselves accountable for the damage that we've done to our men, along, you know, aiding the system in tearing our men down. And some of us aware and some of us not aware. A lot of times we hurt people and not even knowing that we're hurting people because we're hurt. And, you know, the old saying goes, hurt people hurt people. So I don't ever want to speak from a standpoint as if I know it all or I'm coming off as it's a text. I'm reading from a textbook. I'm not. These are my own experiences. So that's where I come across as. And if I keep clearing my throat, it's because I'm a bug that's trying to get on me. It's this little cold going around. But, yeah, so
okay.
with that being said, I tend to just do self-work, you know, and just spread what I know and what my experiences is with others, that we can all do the work of healing and reforming, because we want to reform the police department. We want to reform the man the own the corner store. We got to reform our own household and reform ourselves
mm-hmm.
as well.
True. So let me ask you a question. What's the first step, right, in terms of making the black family work or whole again? Now, you talked about accountability, right? How do we get us all on the same page in terms of accountability?
For one, you can't point the finger, right? We got to stop pointing the finger. We've done enough pointing the finger, and it's just time to really take accountability for ourselves and what the damage that we've done to our not only ourselves but our children and you know, our significant others. And as a race of people, you know, we've done a lot of damage to ourselves, and we've shunned out a lot, you know, and so have society. When they took prayer out of school and they took God off the money and God we trust off the money, a lot of things
got
went
that
right. A lot of things went flipped upside down. It's like flipping over a table. Now we got a mess to clean up. So
true.
You know, take accountability for ourselves and the things that we've done. Me as a woman, I can most definitely say that I worked 3 jobs since I was 19 years old. And I have conditioned myself to not rely or need any or wait for anybody to do anything. A lot of times, too, I would say, my mom would say, come over here and help me cut the grass. And I get over there, she done already cut half the grass. And I said, Mom, you didn't wait for my brother or nobody to get over there to help you. She's like, well, I can't wait for y'all. So I learned that from my mother, to not wait for nobody to do anything for me. Is it good? Probably. In a way, it is. Is it bad? Yes, in a way, it is. Because now when a man comes to the house or when, you know, in relationship with someone, they say, oh, you act like you the man. You're not going to wait for me to do that, or you don't want me to do that. You don't need help with me doing that. And that ruined a lot of my relationships because I did not have the patience or, you know, the ability or knew how to wait on nobody. I wasn't taught that. So we have ways about ourselves that we have inherited from generational curses as well.
I agree. Let me ask you this question. Uh-huh. When we listened to a video the other day over on Instagram, and we mentioned it in our production, and there are women saying that they don't need a man, right? And you just kind of mentioned how – go ahead.
The question on the Instagram post that I saw was a group of women, I would say they were from in their 20s, in their early 20s. And the question that the radio host asked these group of women, it was 5 women in the room, would you rather Instagram or a man? And one girl, without any hesitation, said she would rather have Instagram than a man. Now, I'm 44 years old. And I don't mind telling my age because I don't look it. But these women that were as young as they were saying that Instagram, because, and then once one person spoke as loudly and boldly as she said Instagram, the other 4 ladies followed her lead. and they said Instagram as well. But I noticed that one of the girls laughed before she said that, like, just being foolish. Like, you show me that there are leaders and there are followers. And then the Bible said, woe to those who lead my sheep astray. So in that moment, I realized how quickly we are led astray by somebody being so loud and ignorant, and we think that is the way sometimes. Or we have to get on that bandwagon. Now, why in the world would you choose Instagram over a man? Something that's not even tangible. I would have no idea. But her explanation was that with Instagram, she got the attention that she wanted. You get the attention that she wanted. You get the comments that you wanted, that she liked. She got the likes. Every time you hit like, the numbers add up. You know, you get a certain amount of likes. You satisfied. Go to bed content. Oh, I got 100 likes on this picture that I posted. I did this, and I got likes for it. Like, you really need that type of, you really want that type of attention from strangers than having one significant other? That was baffling to me. I had to share it with you all because I was like, that is so, that was kind of like the right on point with the topic of today, you know, of just taking some accountability of the damage that we do to each other and, you know, what work we have to do. Now, these are young kids, so she's about the same age as my oldest daughter. So to know that's how our younger generation feel, I have to look at that as a older person and say, where do we go wrong in leading these young women? And that's what I mean about accountability. We cannot continue to lead our own sheep astray. We have to gather up our flock, and we have to keep them closer than ever before. They're gone too far astray. And why do we let them go astray? For a peace of mind, for a quick 5-minute relaxation. When we get off a job, we rush home just to sit down. A lot of times, then you got to get right back up, and you got to cook dinner, you got to help with the homework. Well, these are things we're supposed to be doing, but 9 times out of 10, we're not even doing those things because we don't even know. We can't even keep up with the homework nowadays. It's so more advanced. They're so more advanced than we are. So those are the things when I'm talking about when I talk about accountability. And false empowerment is what they gave us as women to say that we don't need a man. They have equipped us with false empowerment.
Let me just add this in, right, for the brothers. Now, when we talking about men, we're not talking about just any old man, right? We're talking about a man, right, not a boy, a man, right? And so if you're going to substitute, make sure that when you're thinking about this, the type of man that you're looking for, right, and the qualities that you're looking for and the types of behaviors, right, and the responsibility. And it goes back to what you said, Sister Krista, the accountability, right? How accountable, right, is this man or this gentleman, this young man that we're speaking to, that we're looking for, right? Because as we reimagine what manhood and womanhood looks like, we're going to have to be able to look at what those characteristics and qualities are. So as we talk about that and go a little bit further into it, what are some suggestions, right, for, like you said, sisters are in some regards overwhelmed, right, got a lot of work to do, got a lot of stress, got a lot of responsibilities for the children and other things. And like you said, you got 3 jobs, for example, got to make sure the grass cut, children fed, homework done. How do sisters manage all of this? And what suggestions do you have for continuing to couple that with responsible behavior in relationship?
Well, I'm at the point where, you know, I was raised in church, and being raised in church, it's instilled in you. A lot of, you know, ways and a lot of the word But now I can apply them. I was too young to apply certain things. Now I'm older. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was taught that. You know, I remember reading that, or I've read that, or I'm reading that. So for me, you know, it describes God as caring, wise, and patient, right? So you want somebody who is like God, right? So for me, I look for the three P's: patient, provider, and protector.
I like that.
If you are patient, because trust me, we as black women, we know we are a handful. We're very creative. We're very innovative. We are, in women in general, we are more advanced. You know, we grow faster. You know, we're more mature than men. Even as children, we mature faster. So with that maturity comes responsibility. And you want to, and we're nurturers. So not only do we have to continue to nurture our children, but we have to continue to nurture our men as well. Not in a way that you're talking to him like he's a child, but he has gifts and he has desires that we should support and make sure that we are, you know, just being a good vessel towards whatever you want to put into your household. You can't be in a household tearing your man down and say that your house is complete. A lot of times we have things that we need to clean up, but we want to brush it under the rug or hide it, and then you step out and, you know, everybody sees a complete family, but then when you're indoors, there's a lot that we don't see behind closed doors. So the way you conduct yourself outside the house is the same way you should conduct yourself inside the house when it comes to building your family.
So in terms of advice for the sister, mm-hmm. Now we discussed some of the black women saying that they don't need a man, right? What do you say to that, right? What are your thoughts on a sister, especially a young lady, or any female for that matter, saying that they don't need a man? What are your thoughts on that?
It's so deeper than what we can imagine when it comes to estrogen and testosterone, and when it comes to chemical balance, when it comes to strength, when it comes to just having a physical touch, right? So even women who date women, sometimes their one is acting like a man. One is portraying the role of a man. So to say we don't need a man, that's bizarre to me, and it's a trick of the enemy. It's a trick of the enemy.
All right, Sister Krista, thank you. Let's go over to Slido. Slido is heating up a little bit, and the first question is, where do you think the mindset comes from that makes those young ladies respond like that? Where do you think the mindset comes from that makes those young ladies respond like that?
Teachers aren't teaching. There was, you know, when I was in school, that you got home economics, you got different things. Now these electives are just taking role, and if your attendance is A, you get a A for participation, you get a A for showing up in class. But I haven't seen nothing, nobody's stitching, nobody's bringing home any cooking classes that we had took at one point in time. Now everything is through the textbook or through the computer. And
I think that, like I said, the web world, the World Wide Web, has really messed up these younger generations of children. And who's going out and playing anymore? I look at the bus stop in the morning, and the bus stop, my daughter's 6 years old, the bus stop has 25 kids at the bus stop. But during the weekday, I don't see, or during the afternoons, I don't see not one child outside playing on the playground. The playgrounds are empty on these phones, and that is their life now. Everything is on these electronics. They're not outside using their own imagination. They don't have, they're letting everybody else think for them. And like I said, once that young lady made that comment, the others followed up like imps and peons. Like they couldn't think for themselves.
So let me ask you this. So again, this show is directed toward the sisters, right? And it's not like we are, as a focus, we want to be able to consider issues that we face in our communities in terms of relationship. But for this show directed toward thinking about life from an African-American perspective specifically, coming from an African-American female, where do you think we need to go in terms of kind of redirecting our children, if possible, from technology? Because we're probably not ever going to really go back. But how do we find a balance in that with modern parenting and all the technology that we're facing today?
You have to, if you see it on TV, you have to act it out in person. Like a lot of times, if my daughter is watching something, she'll turn the computer off and then she'll go, "Mommy, can you show me how to bake a cake?" Or, you know, can you? And we have to have that time and energy for our children and just show them a lot of times what they're seeing on TV and, you know, mimic what they see so they can put their own hands to it, you know what I'm saying, and tap into their own gifts. You have to at some point give the internet a break and equip them with real life scenarios. It's not bad. The internet is not a bad thing, but it most definitely is a tool to be used, not abused. And a lot of times we take things out of moderation. Everything should be done in moderation.
That's a fact. All right, we're at Slido, slido.com, SLIDO.com. The number today is 333-4123, 333-4123. We're with Sister Krista today, and she's talking about the things that black women need to do to make the black family work again or work better, right? What sisters can do. We're just focusing on edifying and growing into the sisters. So if you want to chime in, 845-277-9250 at the top of the hour, and also over on Slido at Slido.com. Sister Krista, let's go back over to Slido. Here's the next question. What is a single point that we can focus on to improve the male and female relationships? What is a single point that we can focus on to improve our male and female relationships?
I think the number one thing where I messed up at is courting. We don't court or we don't, you know, have that dating period to get to know that person. We jump so quickly off looks, off of, you know, what that person has to offer. It just really show and tell that we have to do more of homework when we're getting into these relationships and not looking at the surface, you know. So that's one of the things I think that we need to do better at, just getting to know our partner.
All right. Here's the next question. How would you suggest a woman nurture her man? How would you suggest a woman nurture her man?
it's a two-way street. And nurturing them is just, if you know that that person has aspirations and goals and things, you most definitely want to encourage them to go after their dreams, to be able to, you know, just kind of be somebody that, not downing them. Oh, that's a stupid idea, or that's not good, because your gifts and talents is not his gifts and talents. So a lot of times we shut it down before we even take a good look at it.
Okay. Slido's heating up. Here's the next question. Is there a message you would like to share with fathers? Is there a message that you would like to share with fathers to impress on their daughters to improve their prospects on relationships?
My advice to fathers is most definitely you want to set the bar high for your daughters when it comes to choosing a mate. So here is an example of what I had, why I asked my kid's father, and, you know, we decided to together was when she got like 12, 13 years old, they had a date night. Now, you know, take her out to the movies, open the door for her, bring her flowers, randomly do nice things for her, whereas the next guy, if he's not coming correctly to her, or then she knows her worth. She knows what to not settle for. You know, she's not settling. So a lot of times, you know, my father, I know he used to sing in a Cortex group, and he would always sing to me, "You are so beautiful." And I used to, so when I hear somebody tell me I'm beautiful, now I receive it, but I don't let it get to my head, because I've heard it so many times from my father. It's not nothing new. You know, it's not like I get all googly-eyed at the first person to tell me I'm beautiful. Or what if I get a little bit of attention, I'm not doing it for, if I post a picture, I'm not doing it for the likes. You know, it's not for the Instagram.
Right, and so, we're kind of really having that to be a central focal point right now, right, in terms of attention, right, and likes and comments, mm-hmm. right, and okay. see me and see what I'm doing. Do you think that's the – I think it's good, with, like you said, within moderation, right, but how do we make ourselves, if any, more secure, right, with who we are?
Right.
Christian.
I'm sorry, I got my line got tied up.
Okay, did you hear the question?
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay, I was just saying, with, you know, all the attention, right, that we get on social media, Instagram posts, and looking for likes and attention, how do we get back to kind of just kind of refining ourselves and being okay with that?
And like I said, everything is done in moderation, because if I, you know, you put on a cute outfit, you want people to see that you spent your money and you're out looking nice. Well, nothing wrong with that. It's kind of like a day-to-day diary but you're sharing your day-to-day with public and with your close friends and family. So I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that, but when your mind tells you that that's all you need, and like I say, and you take it out of context and moderation is not used, and you can say, I don't want to be around people, or I don't need to be a social, you know, you're an introvert and all you want to do is social media, that's where the problem comes in at. I'm not going to say there's nothing wrong with the social media, because we learn a lot. A lot of things that they show us, we wouldn't see otherwise. or wouldn't know otherwise. So I'm not going to say stay off of social media, but I will say use it in moderation.
Right. That makes sense. Now let's go back to Slido. The next question is, what are the qualities of a good black man? What do you think the qualities are? A good black man.
Well, qualities of a good black man, like I said, someone who is patient, a provider and a protector, you know, caring and wise, you know. We have a lot of very talented, we are talented people. I'm not going to say we have a lot of, we are talented people. I was just looking at something else on the a documentary about how a Statue of Liberty was really a black woman. And if you mm-hmm. look at the feet of the Statue of Liberty, they still have the chain on the feet because it was a woman, a black woman who was chained, so whose feet was bound. So I look at the fact that how far we've come as a people and how talented and gifted we are and who built it, who made it, you know, the time and effort, the message behind it, how gifted we are as a people. We're extraordinary, but we have different, it's just like the phone book. We all have different things to offer. We have different resources to give. We have different gifts and talents. So just being able to allow a man to tap into their gifts and talents and not look at it as strange or stupid further than what we are. We always shooting something, somebody else's ideas down because we don't understand it or we don't see it manifesting. So I would say just be a little bit more patient with one another and just really tap into each other's gifts.
Well, let's talk about patience for a minute, right? And I think that's needed in almost every relationship, right? But what do you
more
think?
More now than ever.
Right. The key is to developing that patience, you know, as a person, right, for your children or your mate or your partner, your spouse, or even your business partner. How do you suggest that, you know, as a black woman, you would be able to develop that?
A business partner?
Well, in every relationship, right? I'm from a black female perspective. How do you?
It's most definitely you look at a relationship and you say I can most definitely put up with this or I can put up with that. So it is to some extent, it is an investment of your time and of your love. So you are investing. For me, you know, you just have to find somebody that is compatible to what you and you're not settling. You're just finding somebody that's compatible to what you want for your future. You don't want to be with somebody that you don't see yourself spending the rest of your life with. But you most definitely, like I said, that goes back to the courtship. If that's something that you know that you can invest in and nurture, then that's what you do.
That's true. That's so true. But in terms of the things to strengthen the family, right? What would be maybe two or three more things that we could share in terms of how we strengthen the family and the things that we need to do, both male and female, to do that collectively?
You know, first and foremost, you always have to be on the same page when it comes to praying. You know, you don't, a family that prays together stays together. You know, that's the saying. But, you know, you have to most definitely put God first. Faith without works is dead. You have to most definitely teach your children how to pray and allow, you know, for your walk with the Most High to lead and guide you.
So that brings me to another point here. How do you suggest in terms of developing a strong relationship, right? Going back to the things that will make the black family work again, developing that spiritual foundation, right? Does that for you start in the courtship or in the dating aspect of it, or it kind of naturally occurs as you go along? So if a person is not necessarily having a spiritual experience, whether it be at church or another way, how do you get that to happen in a relationship that brings the foundation more closer?
I think that all kind of, you know, goes with the courting. You know, you ask the same questions like when you ask, what's your favorite color? You ask, what's your religion? What's your faith? Who do you believe in? You know, those are the things that you have to see if, you know, if y'all are on the same page. And you don't, and I'm not going to say necessarily have the same religion, because sometimes you can find that you want to switch over, or whatever's not working for you that you've been in. So I'm not gonna never say, you might grow into a different direction with your mate. So, but you most definitely want to ask those very important questions, you know, in the beginning.
That's true. It's so critical, right, to making the family work again. So there's so many different components to, you know, making a union, right, along with children, in a relationship mm-hmm. work, right? And so as we look at it, and again, I'm really trying to pull from the perspective of a sister, right? So we all kind of think about, you know, how we can go back into our families and our relationships and begin to apply this, you know, these ideas for empowerment, right? You say a family that prays together stays together, right? If prayer is not a part of your spiritual foundation, for example, like just praying together, what would you suggest?
Start with a vision board.
Okay.
So make yourself a vision board if you want to, you know, color it and decorate it and follow your, you know, you have to have goals, and not so much as long-term goals where they're unreachable. You know, don't set your goals so high that you can't reach them. Do daily goals, monthly goals.
All right. Monthly goals, daily goals.
And most definitely, you know, look at the history from which you came. You most definitely don't want to repeat, you know, any bad history. We have enough curses on us. Like I said, we need to break these chains and replace it with linking arms.
True. That's so true. So to piggyback off of that thought about linking arms, right, how do you suggest we think about that reconnection point, right, with so much going on in terms of resources, time, technology? How do we begin to spend time together, right? How do we find that balance in a relationship where you can still pour into the other person with all of the responsibilities that, you know, this modern life has, that pulls on a relationship?
Well, you know, people make time for what they want to make time for. I'm a firm believer in that. Like, you can't say that you don't have time. People make time for what they want to make time for. If you got time to watch Judge Judy every day at the same time, and you don't miss a show of your stories or whatever it is that you like to do, you most definitely can set aside some time for your family and make that priority. Make your family priority.
That's a good point, right? So as we prioritize our goals, right, collectively, what do you think are those critical things, right, that help to strengthen the bonds in a relationship, right? And what do one women need to do, and then what do you think men need to do?
To enforce a bond, I think enforcing the bond comes when you just have a understanding that you are two different individuals with two different brains, two different ways of thinking, and just have respect, you know, each other's space and boundaries. You don't have to always win an argument or control the situation. You have to, you know, sometimes just, like I said, support one another. It's not about who can do it better when you're under the same roof. It's not a competition within the house.
All right. That's true. So let's go back over to Slido before we go to the lines, getting close to the top of the hour. It's Empowerment Saturday. We got Sister Krista back for part two, right, of her series. And we're talking about the things black women can do, right? But not only just black women, but the things that we could do collectively together to make the black family work again. But we're specifically really targeting how we can educate the sisters as we go along in the process, because we got a sister on board, right? And so I don't want this to be just a male-dominated show, but I want to talk about perspective that we can all use to have an exchange, but also to grow. All right, so here's the question. What attachment, if any, do you think is connected to our experience of being enslaved that has damaged our relationships with the black male and female? What attachment, if any, do you think is connected to our experience of being enslaved that has damaged our relationships with the black male and female?
The system. If I have to put it all in one word, it'd be the system. The system was made to break us. You know, there's laws that bound us. There's jobs and opportunities that we don't have, you know, lack of education as well. So I would say education, the system, and you know, those are the things that you put into the community, like dangling a carrot over our heads and trying to make us you know, forcing us to try to succeed at something where you got our hands bound. You want to give us education, but you got handcuffs on the books that we're allowed to read. You know, you want to tell us what it is that we need to know, only to come out here and be like worker bees for a system that you built for us, not allowing us to create our own. So there's a lot of ties in that.
That makes a lot of good sense. All right. We're right at the top of the hour. Again, it's African American Empowerment Saturday with Sister Krista. We're talking about the things black women need to do. But in terms of relationship, what we all need to do, there's some weight that all of us have to carry if we're in relationships, and a responsibility that each of us have to making things work no matter where we are with each other, right? There has to be a collective consciousness where we want to work with each other, right? And we have a lot of damage, of course. We know that we need to heal from. But it's now time to hear from you all, right, the listeners, right? 845-277-9250. We got Sister Krista talking about things we need to do, right, in terms of the sisters and the brothers to strengthen our families and make them work together. So I'm going over to 252 is the first three, and the last three, four, I'm sorry, is 0683. 0683, you're the first one up today. You're on deck and you're live. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question, comment, or statement? 0683, welcome. Two, five, two, oh, six, eight, three. Going once. Going twice. All right. Let's go down to 0148. 0148. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question, comment, or statement for myself, Sister Krista, or Brother George?
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for picking my call. Sister Krista, I want to ask you, we're living in this day of modern technology and having sessions such as these, Zooms, et cetera. Do you ever have thoughts of developing a way that we can see a complete family. Part of our socialization, I think, is that we don't ever get to see what a complete family looks like. So is there a way that we could utilize technology in such a way that we can actually see the male, the female, the significant other, the children, all in that square box that we are allotted within Zoom sessions at all?
Thank you for your question.
So, allowing, so you're saying through social media, we need a family dynamic. That's the, that would be a challenge for everyone. You know, I'm not computer savvy, so I'm not on there as much to be doing family Zooms, but we most definitely have places like the YMCA, and we do have social media, whereas we all should be, when we on Instagram posting about our day, we can most definitely probably post more about the love we spread throughout our own family dynamic. So, I mean, we have to change our way of thinking and reverse the curse on, you know, allowing social media to dictate to us to what we should post about. Because a lot of times if it's negative, they get more likes than the positive. Change that dynamic and post more positive things. So that would be a challenge within a challenge.
I think in many of our families, we've been re-socialized, right? And our families have been reconstructed or deconstructed to be more toward single-parent homes in many communities. And what I'm finding that, particularly in the lower income strata or brackets, you find more single-parent homes, right, or single-parent families where that is now a part of the structure where the government has said, we'll offer support to you, right? But, you know, if we bring the mail in, then, you know, we can't help y'all, so to speak. And so as we kind of been re-socialized, it's really about how much economic support that we, many of us, can get in terms of helping us to sustain the bare minimum, right? Because a lot of our women, even men, are then trapped in an economic bracket and can't get out because they're strapped to the support.
And not only that, I'm going to say this, and I know this is probably, I don't know how else to word it, but we're so caught up as trying to have a seat at their table and being the exceptional nigger than to fight for fairness and to ask for fairness and just treat ourselves fair. Just treat each other fairly. You don't have to try to outdo the next woman and, you know, women try to compete with each other. Just be fair with one another and show that we can coexist together and stop trying to outdo each other and want to be put on a platter like we're the exceptional nigger. Oh, she like me, but she don't like y'all. I'm good over here. Make sure that everybody around you is good. What's wrong with that?
That's true. I think we're going to have to ourselves change the trajectory of our behaviors and the type of relationships that we are going to foster as we move along and not be so guided or shepherded into certain relationship situations, if you will. Let's go back to the lines. 919, last four, 8502. You're on, you're up next in your live. Thank you for the question, brother. 8502, you're next.
Good afternoon, Brother Marvin, Sister Krista, and Brother George.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
This is Herbie White in Durham, North Carolina. I just want to add that the real problem is the destruction of African culture.
Mm.
Culture, African culture defined everybody's role, and there were no individuals. It was a group. Everything that happened was designed to enhance and protect the group.
That's right.
So with a destruction of the culture, you have individualism. So the black woman is looking for the black man. The black man is looking for, and everybody's looking for something different as an individual. So what needs to be done, if it's possible, is to recreate our culture in a toxic environment. Every attempt that we made to recreate our culture, things like Mark Garvey movement and stuff like that, Africans helping Africans, has been destroyed.
Right.
So for an individual male or individual female to find each other in a toxic environment, that individual has never had any support to become a good man or to become a good woman. Where did she learn it from? Where did he learn it from? In our culture, you learn what your role was. Nobody's role was subservient, and everybody's role was to look after everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That is true, brother.
Yeah, the word community has been like, I don't think people even think about what that word really means anymore, to be a community.
True. Thank you, Brother Herbie. Great comments. Recreating our culture in a toxic environment. That might have to be a whole show, Brother George. All right, let's go back over to Slido real quick. What advice do you have for our young black girls with all of the trauma we're experiencing through the system we live under and how to keep a healthy self-image? What advice, Sister Krista, do you give to our black girls?
You know, I have three of my own, and they're 20, 2, 18, and 6. And I pay close attention to my girls when it gets through emotional, when it comes to emotions, when it comes to, you know, what they're wearing, when the friends that they keep. And I always try to teach my girls to be leaders. So mentoring is one thing. And I always told my kids, like, find somebody that you can talk to. If you don't even feel like you can talk to me, make sure that you have somebody that you can talk to. You don't have to always tell me things. Tell it to your teacher, tell it to your counselor, tell it to your friend's mom if you feel if that's who you confide in. And we have to, you know, maintain those relationships with our children and not so much dictate to them, but also listen to them.
That's true. That's so important, right? Communication is a key to every relationship at some point. We're going to have to be able to get our young people to communicating properly and effectively. But I think that thing that you mentioned in terms of how we really look at ourselves is going to be important to how we treat ourselves, right? So that self-image is going to reflect at some point in our behavior, right, and the things that we do and the things that we actually say to each other. And as that reflection continues to come out, what do we see when we begin to love ourselves more, right, as we become our authentic selves again? Thank you again for that question. Let's go on over to 1683, right? 804, 1683, you are up next. You have a question or comment. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, brother. Peace to everyone. This is Brother Booker.
All right, you're breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
You're still breaking up. Can you come a little closer?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Coming in clear. Welcome.
Oh, yes, sir, brother. Thank you. I just want to say a good show today. What I'm hearing about from the sisters of Crystal and the comments from the callers, I'll just add that we must remember something I've said before. The winner of every war gets two things from the loser. They are his land, and his woman. And we, the black man, we've lost this war so far in this country. So with that, we've lost our land, our woman, the two things we need to produce our future. And when you lose your woman, the woman that teaches the children the ways of the winner, the language, the culture, everything about him, she instills into the children, because technically the man is gone. The man is gone. And then the sister wanting to, what is it called, the social media thing. I'm not technology savvy, but the site she wants, the site, I heard, instead of a man, that shows you where we are and what that destruction has done to us. You know, we because literally our women are not seeing men. They're not seeing the black man, because we have been mentally destroyed. You know, so what our women are dealing with, they're trying to pick the best nigga. Whereas if we were men that we were supposed to be, it wouldn't be no choice between a technological site or a man. Wouldn't even ask that question. So that's where we are. We have to understand that we truly have to understand the purpose of slavery, why it was done, and the effects that it's still having on us today. The purpose was to divide us, to put the man against the woman, the young against the old, the black against the white, the light against the dark. That's what the purpose of it was, to create the setting that we are in today. So we should not be surprised by that. It has been very successful in what it's done. And brother, you've heard me say before, what we got is niggas producing, niggas producing, niggas producing, niggas producing, niggas producing, niggas producing, niggas. And until we break that cycle and come out of that and recapture our minds, the God in us, is where we have to start, each one, the sister and the brother. We have to focus on ourselves and find the God in us and love ourselves. And when we do that, we will go to each other automatically. It's automatic. When we do that, so when I love my black self, I love my black woman. I love my black brother. That's natural. It's just automatic. And that's what we need to focus on and remember, brother and sister. Thank you again for a good show.
Thank you, brother. So we're going to have to do some reversing, right? We're going to have to do some shifting in our consciousness and in our behavior, because like the brother said, right, what the condition has been is producing what we see in our communities, right? Or even, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in terms of crime and violence. It could just be the way that we treat each other, right? What you think about that, Sister Krista? Is slavery still in effect, and to what degree?
Most definitely. As long as we still clocking in and clocking out under somebody else's, it's most definitely still in effect. As long as we got these laws that are being passed to, you know, continue to lock up mostly our black men, slavery is just reformed. It's never left. It was reformed. Now we have to abolish it. It was never abolished. It was just reformed.
Reform, repackaged, and reconstituted. All right. Thank you, brother. Let's go on over to go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say it's like putting a lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig.
All right. Still a pig. All right. Let's go on over to 252. Last four is 5347. 5347, you are up next. You are live, and you have a question or comment. 5347. All right. Maybe they're just listening today, Sister Krista. Again, the number to call, 845-277-9250. 845-277-9250. Slido.com, the number you could put in. The code is 333-4123. We got Sister Krista here, right, just the last few minutes of this conversation, right? Let's, again, think about the things that we need to do to develop our families, right, to have better nurturing relationships, right, and to become outside of this created being that we've become, right? And so another theme that has come across in this conversation is the impact and the influence that slavery continues to have on us. Let's go back to the lines. 804-0673-0673. You're next. You're live. You have a question or comment. 0673, you're up.
Yeah, Hotep. I'm going back over this book called Breaking the Chains of Psychological Slavery by Naeem Akbar. And psychology is one aspect of people's culture. And when George talks about the Willie Lynch, there were psychological methods used. So in this book, Akbar says, we are the only form of nature who operates upon our self-conscious. He said, all other creatures operate by instinct. And so as a result of our enslavement, we're thinking our world is right side up, otherwise our world is upside down. With a sister, for example, in the past, who had a child, and I'm asserting myself as a man and correcting that child. And she always says, this is my child, as if I'm trying to take her place. But I'm not taking her place. She wasn't supposed to raise the child alone, whether she got a boy or a girl. The child needs both parents. And not just the woman, but I got a relative of mine who's male. And a sister tried to assert herself, a very powerful sister tried to assert herself and correct his son. And he said, this is my son. As if she couldn't assert herself right, but she wasn't trying to take his place. She would let him know you were supposed to raise that child by himself as a man, and a sister was supposed to raise the child by herself as a woman. So we have to go back to what Dr. Akbar said, self-conscious. We have to find out what we were doing before our enslavement so we can get back on track again. That's all I have to say. That's my contribution.
All right. That's so true and so good. Thank you, brother. All right. How do we get back to that? Again, it goes back to culture, like Brother Herbie said, and Brother Kebulon came right through and said it again, right? How do we get back to a culture that works for us, right? As we continue to look at and examine and dissect the system that we're in, right, as we look at the pillars of the peace concept, how do we begin to think about how to take culture, right, and then redefine or reconstitute that so that it works for us, right, that it insulates and isolates and support us. What do you think, Sister Crystal? How do we determine how we can build culture in a way in which it's effective for us?
For me, you know, the body is an interesting tool, you know, a vessel. Start with your eyes and your hair and just do the homework of what your brown eyes and brown skin and of what your skin does, the power that it holds. And, you know, I did 18 years of massage therapy, so I'm interested in how the organs work and how my body works. So if you just knew the power you possess inside, you put on green eyes or you put on blue eyes, you know, as fashion, but they have these contacts to make you, to distract you from what you really possess within yourself. So really just do your homework on who you are and what you possess, the powers you possess is a good start.
I think that's a good piece. Brother George, can I bring you in?
Yes, sir.
All right, what do you think? How do we tie this in?
Well, I've called in and speak about culture. And I was wondering, you know, what Sister Krista, you know, thoughts are in terms of how to bring that culture back. And it's ironic because I'm looking at Slido and I think someone is asking a similar question.
All right.
Did you hear my question?
Well, I'll slide on over to Slido and support that. I'll just go ahead, Brother George, if you don't mind, but I want you to stay on. The question is, because I'm looking at it too, what are one or two things that you suggest or you can suggest that we recapture our culture? So what are one or two things we can do to recapture our culture?
For one, call each other by their by our name.
Uh-oh.
You know, a lot of times
come on.
Each other by, out of our name. We have to learn to how to address one another properly.
Right.
And then, you know, the other thing is, you know, like I said, be fair to one another. You know, not all, not everyone deserves the cold shoulder. Not everyone deserves attitude or to be having the door slammed in their face. You know, we all have to learn to love and lift one another up. And if you don't have the patience or the resources, refer them to somebody else who you know does. It's okay to, you know, say, I don't know, but let me help you. Let me let someone else help you with that.
Right. That makes sense. So, Brother George, Brother Herbie made a great point, right? And I want to ask you what you think. How do we recreate our culture in a toxic environment like this one?
Well, I guess if it was easy, we'd have already done it, you know. But
true.
It's going time. You know, one of the brothers last night spoke something similar, and it's going to take time. It's going to take one generation after the other to continue to reinforce what we need done. And to give you an example, like at one time, you know, we didn't think, you know, a second thought about the educational system and what our children are learning. Time now that has become a topic of debate to the point where you have Republican governors that want to cancel out Afrocentric information, and for what reason? You know, for what reason? Because there's a academic challenge as to who actually did what, and so it's not defined as that right now, but ultimately, it's going to be defined as that, like who actually did what. You know, when you write these history books and you write about different persons and personalities and you give credit to someone of European descent for something that actually it was a black man or woman that did it, you know. And so if you write that in the history books, it will give our children a tremendous boost in self-esteem and self-concept. So they don't want us like that. So it's not going to be easy, but we have to continue to, you know, to take back this rightfully ours. That's my response.
Right. Right. Thank you, brother. That's so true, right?
Yes.
We got to do it one step at a time, and the work needs to be done, right? So tips and tidbits, right? And again, this is a show that is about development and empowerment. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's go back to the lines. 0946, you're up. You're next. Do you have a question or comment? Oh, 0946. Going once. All right. Just listening. All right. So, as we wrap up today, Sister Krista, I want to first thank you for joining us today and continuing to just kind of pour out some thoughts on the things that we need to do as we reflect on how things are currently occurring in our lives as we continue to kind of exist here in so many different ways with so many different experiences. So I just want to thank you for that. And then I want final comments from you before we wrap it up for today. But we'd love to have you back again so we could talk about just the experience from a female's perspective.
Right. Just, you know, I appreciate y'all every time, you know, y'all have me on, you know, just to give my two cents is what they you know. But going forward, I would say we have to approach every situation with boldness. You want to leave a legacy for your children and your children's children. So we have to be bold in this time of reforming once again and reconstructing and abolishing slavery as a whole. We have to stand together in our boldness and make sure that our message is clear, that we're not going to accept certain things that we have accepted in the past, and that we want to be able to allow our children the opportunity to live better than we have and to experience the truth about who we really are and what our powers are. We have the power that we have as a people.
I like it. Let's become bold again, right? In a very productive way. We could do anything. If you don't take anything away from this show today, I want you, if you can, share it with someone, of course, but then play it back and listen, right? But listen attentively for those tools and those techniques and those strategies that we can begin to practically apply to our lives. Brother George, final comments.
Well, I want to appreciate Sister Krista, because, you know, when you deal with black female issues, you know, you're putting yourself out there, and at times we can be very critical of each other, but hopefully it will be received as you intended for it to be delivered, as something constructive that can help our people get back on, you know, a more positive path with our relationship.
Right.
So that's my final comments, bro.
All right. Thank you, Brother George, and thank you, Sister Krista, for an amazing show.
Yeah.
And I just got a text in and said, great show. So somebody's appreciating the work that we're doing here. So before we wrap up today, just a few thoughts, right, before we go. Again, thank you, Sister Krista, for becoming a part of our show that gives us perspective and a wonderful perspective that we can toss around and think about to improve ourselves. But she talked about accountability, right, and the damage that we've experienced. And somebody sent in about the trauma that we've had in our past, which we know is current, is there, right? But also how we're needing attention. And many of us are going to have to think about how that we can grow, right, and mature into mature adults where we're not attention-seeking adults who are looking for likes to feel good about themselves. Right? How do we begin to offer something to our families and our community and build what we call asset building, right, that can create structure, positive structures in our community? And Brother Herbie said, we're recreating culture. How do we do that in toxic environments? That's the work that needs to be done. As we reflect on the education system that are educating many of our children, if you can, put your kids in private school. Sorry, you can't do it. You can't do it, but guess what? If you don't, then we need to have after-school programs to help us out to support that. How do we re-socialize ourselves to become the best people that we can be as we continue to do the work of working on ourselves 365 days? Patient, provide, and protect. Those are the key elements, brothers and sisters, for understanding and respect. We'll see y'all next week. We got Dr. Bruce back up, and then we got a special show coming up after that. So, until next time, stay black. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.